aboard. It's time to take a ride on the MCT.
Funko Pop. Hey guys, do you want to go to Lambert's? Big Ben. I'm married to the Huntress. J Money. Just pop the mic, money. It's time for the MCT. Ladies and guys, guys and ladies, MCT. Alrighty, what's up, guys? Welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. My name is Jeremiah Johnson, alongside Funko Pro Greg Walden.
Yo.
Big Ben, a.k.a. King Ranch, ask you. It is a post-Thanksgiving. Now we can say Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Moving into that time of the season. Yep. So very quickly, initial post-Thanksgiving reaction from you guys. Do you have any hot takes coming out of the Thanksgiving season?
I'm glad that everything stayed closed until Friday. For Black Friday.
Yeah. I was going to say that was one of my big ones, takeaways from this week, is like Black Friday seems like it's kind of diminishing.
It is.
Stranglehold upon the lives of Americans, in that like I felt like I kept seeing Black Friday deals online like a month ago.
Well,
so it was a little bit uneventful.
They were also doing them before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Like the week before Thanksgiving.
At the start of November, I saw Walmart advertising things.
Yeah. Which
online places.
But Walmart was closed. Was closed for Thanksgiving the whole day.
Yeah. Yep.
So I really appreciate the fact that they're starting to do that. COVID definitely, I think, changed that.
Yeah. What's the point anymore? Just put specials online. Who cares?
True.
Yeah. And my brother-in-law and I were talking about like, how many TVs do people need in America? Yeah, exactly. Don't we all have like 10 TVs by now? Or
we don't need to see any more of the store of people fighting over the three TVs they have set out.
Actually,
50 people want them or something.
Actually, I'm down to one TV in my house. It's not even connected to anything. It's not even plugged in.
Yeah. So that was one of my hot takeaways. Hot takeaway for me was I stayed at a hotel called Aloft Hotels, designed by Marriott's. Aloft Hotels, under the Marriott umbrella / banner. So it's supposed to be like a loft style music themed hotel. That's what I looked up here. So I stayed at it. It was really cool. Six people in a room with just two beds. It's kind of crowded. Two dogs. It's not really that fun, but I envision myself there with Ben, me and Ben, like having to take a road trip somewhere, staying at an Aloft hotel and having a really good time.
Going totally hipster. It would it'd probably be better than that one we were in Dallas with all the LED lights and stuff.
Well, the workout room was awesome.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be hipster trendy too. So if you have dogs, traveling with dogs can be a bit of a struggle because a lot of hotels, you got to find one that
they don't
accept dogs. This one, they have like dog bowls by the door because they're trying to be like, you know, trendy people have dogs. We welcome everyone, you know, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They had a bar and pool table and stuff like that. I mean, the alcohol in the bar, I can, you know, do without. But it was kind of cool. I thought it was cool. So if you're traveling through the country somewhere and you see an Aloft hotel, check it out. Let me know what you think. I thought it was cool.
I had the wildest Thanksgiving. I drove 390 miles in one day.
Okay.
So
is that a lot?
Well, I drove up to my...
sorry.
Well, I had to drive to my wife, drop her off at her sister's, and drive over to mom's, and drive back to the wife, pick her up, and drive back. All with my truck smelling like a Twinkie because I stopped at Casey's in Lamar on the way up to Kansas City. It got me one of those iced Twinkie lattes. I love those things.
Iced Twinkie latte?
Yeah, Hostess makes a Twinkie latte. It's really good.
Oh, man.
Get that from a gas station?
Yeah,
or
Casey's. Yeah.
Casey's.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
not tried it yet.
So I got the iced latte. Then it jumped over to because their gas pumps were shut down, so I had to go over to Murphy's, and we topped off on gas. Then every time I go on a long trip, I always take my wallet out of my back pocket. It makes my foot go numb when I'm driving. So I got out, drove off, and like, oh crap, I left my wallet in my back pocket. So I stopped and got the wallet, put it on the side door, and then the light turned green. I'll stop by of all places. I should probably pull it over, but I was like, stop by. Like, I got time, get out, put the wallet in the side truck, get back in. Light turned green. I hit the gas, and I had the open latte in the center console. And just went bloop. My wife's like, it's getting over my sweet potatoes.
Oh, man. So Wait a second. So you then had Twinkie flavored sweet potatoes.
Well, wife didn't. The wife asked what she took to her sister's. But
yeah, oh man,
I say, you know, Twinkies make everything taste good. That's one of the very few things that'll survive a nuclear attack. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we had two Thanksgiving dinners split between our families. We drove 343 miles back to Illinois to the family, and we actually had Thanksgiving at my mom's new house for the first time, which was kind of interesting because it's always been at Granny's, and now it's transitioned to Mom's. And so it's a whole new...
A new tradition.
Yeah. And
starting.
It's getting kind of wild, though, because... all of us kids, it used to be, now me and my sister are the only grandchildren. So it was just, used to be just me, my two grandparents, my two sisters and my two parents. But now we've got kids. So I've got three, my younger sister has two, my older sister has one. So it's, and we all have, you know, spouses and
yep.
So it was kind of a busy Thanksgiving. It's getting a little more crowded than it used to be.
And we hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, the Modern Christian Dudes, whatever you guys did. Also went to the zoo. So, yeah, it sounds like we all had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Minus
I forgot
the Twinkie incident.
So my family and I, we did a murder mystery dinner for Thanksgiving. And so we all had these personas and that we were supposed to do and dress up for. And then we did a murder mystery. And I was a man by the name of Hugh Dunnett. And I was a Welshman, and so I showed up in a full great kilt, and put on my best Welsh accent. So basically, Sean Connery. You're like Sean Connery.
Very nice, Sean.
I've never done one of those before.
It was really fun. Now I enjoyed the acting part of it, and not so much the figuring out who killed.
How long did it last? Did it takes all night?
It was the whole dinner. So we showed up early and then did the dinner and everything. And then we played through it as, so it was a whole evening. So nice. I got best actor and best costume.
Nice.
I did not, however, figure out who the murderer was, which was my wife. So the huntress, yeah.
Very fitting. Very fitting.
She murdered somebody with an umbrella.
Yeah.
Kind of wild, but
yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I highly suggest.
You'd have to probably just stick that somewhere in someone's portion of someone's body to kill him, or
from what I understand, choke him out, or from the autopsy report, she stabbed him in the neck, and she happened to be an Irish doctor, so she was the one that did the autopsy report too. So,
okay.
Yeah,
2 weeks in a row now we have to mark explicit when we upload our.
What was explicit last week?
Greg Walden was swearing. He was saying crap and all kinds of words. Well,
I don't know. That's a swear. I mean, I don't know.
What else was it? I mean, it was bad. No.
We were talking about animal parts too, remember?
Oh, man.
Yes, we did mention.
Yeah. Wow.
The T word.
Yeah.
All right. We are Dudes Talking News, Sports, and God. So we'll bounce around a little bit here, talking about things we always find interesting throughout the week. Okay, I'm not a big FIFA World Cup fan, but it is underway in Qatar Qatar. I still think there's maybe debate how you pronounce that correctly.
Qatar.
Yeah. Is it Qatar or Qatar? I thought someone was saying it was Qatar.
I've never been to Qatar. I've been to Saudi Arabia. That's about close. I've been to Qatar. Okay.
Very controversial how they got it there anyway, because they said it's been weird, bad experiences, because the country is really not, doesn't have
the infrastructure.
That's what I'm looking for to... So yeah. It's been kind of weird from what I've read so far, but I did find this interesting. I'm not a soccer guy, so I'm not going to waste my time researching FIFA. But anyway, I did think this was quite hilarious and comical. The title says, not a Will Ferrell movie, Soccer Baby Jesus is real and a tradition for World Cup fans since 1970. On November 20th, FIFA initiated its highly anticipated month-long tournament known as the World Cup, which is taking place in Qatar. That means fans of Mexico's team have been praying to soccer baby Jesus in hopes of bolstering the team's chances of capturing the coveted trophy. The tournament invited 32 teams around the globe to compete in the coveted FIFA World Cup trophy. The United States is scheduled to face competing teams from Wales, England, and Iran to determine their fate in the next round. Mexico's team is favored this year to outperform about 50% of competing teams. The team and fandom is also known for a year-long tradition that for some seems to have originated from seen straight out of the movie Talladega Nights. You got might remember that, where they have the baby Jesus prayer on. The film is a comedy where Will Ferrell's character prays to baby Jesus during a meal with his family. Instead of the baby Jesus Ferrell's character prays to, Team Mexico fans have been praying to a statue of soccer baby Jesus located in Mexico City's San Miguel Archangel Church since 1970. There you go.
I have no words.
Soccer baby that. Jesus. If you see the picture, he's on there like a golden throne of something with the little outfit on. And people legitimately come here to pray to soccer baby Jesus.
Sounds like a golden calf to me. Wow. So I have seen a few, but I guess I don't follow soccer, or as they most of the world says, football. But I have seen a couple of posts that were interesting. There was an English guy, obviously cheering for England. He was dressed in a Templar outfit, which I'm assuming he's referencing the Crusades, which didn't go well for England. So, and then I saw, what was the other one? Japan. Japan upset Germany, I think. And the Japanese fans stayed behind and cleaned the stadium. So I guess it's notorious, and that Japanese people are just very considerate. And so they actually cleaned all the garbage and stuff up after they won, which is like, wow. Like who does that? You know what I mean?
Can invite them over and play Risk or something.
Right. No, exactly. Let them win. No, but I've heard Japan is very considerate, you know, like in their country, you can leave your bike unlocked and without worry of it being stolen. And they also like an escalator, they'll stay to the right side and keep the left side for anybody that wants to walk up instead of just riding it. So I guess their culture is very considerate of others. That,
speaking of, I was watching about a month or so ago, I was watching a video about, you know, what the criminal law in Japan was.
Yeah.
They don't have bail laws like we have bail laws over here.
Right.
When you get arrested as a foreigner over in Japan, you can sit in jail for up to almost a month.
Awesome.
And there's no bail. You're just sitting in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, their bail law is a little different than it is over here.
Yeah, because we don't have them. In Illinois just got rid of it.
Yeah, but Japan's pretty strict. It's like you sit in jail and you're sitting there. There's no like, hey, can I get bail? You're sitting there.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Who do you pray to, Greg Walden?
I pray to Jesus.
Okay.
Only
soccer
Jesus.
Baby Jesus? Or nope. No.
Okay. The Bible Jesus.
Yeah, amen. The Bible Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus was a baby. It is Christmas time. It did happen. He did come to this earth in a manger, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's my one story of the day. Soccer baby Jesus. Help us, Lord.
Well, being that we're on the topic of sports, I mean, might as well keep that little topic alive. Can any of you guys, Tom Brady had a career first. Do any of you guys know what it is?
He went over 100,000 yards passing. I know that just recently. How about that?
No, this happened in last Sunday's game with the Browns.
He got divorced?
Nope.
Oh, okay. That happened too. No.
I have no idea.
All right.
I've been paying attention.
Okay. Well, his career
he left
first.
He a Twinkie in his football pants and sat on it. Yeah.
He deflated the Twinkie. A Twinkie or something. Anyways, no, actually, this was the first time in his career that he was down by 7 points and lost in overtime.
First time in his career?
First time in his career against the Browns.
Oh, against the Browns.
Well, no. Well, no, this is the first time ever. In his career ever. In but his career. It happened during the Browns. But the first time in his career he's ever been up. They've been up by 7 points. But lost in overtime.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brady's the GOAT. Yeah. We have to acknowledge he is the GOAT, and he's been the comeback king.
I dislike him so much.
Yeah.
He's just so good. That's why I don't like him.
He's so good and so beautiful. But
And Patrick Mahomes, we got to say congratulations to Patrick Mahomes. His wife had her second kid.
Oh, yeah. I heard that.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Was he married or is he still a girlfriend?
I still think it's in the
girlfriend
stage. But
I don't know if he married
her. I've got some movie talk that I want to talk about, and then I have something really special and surprising.
Let's bounce over to it.
Okay.
A little bit of movie talk. Yeah, I haven't seen Black Adam yet. I haven't seen Wakanda Forever yet.
Oh, I forgot Wakanda came out.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either. And I'm probably not going to until they
probably
come to
streaming.
If they come to streaming, yeah, I'll probably watch it. But okay, so December 9th, we have The Whale coming out. This is Brendan Fraser's recent movie that he's done. He gained a lot of weight for it and was self-conscious about it. And so I guess if you go back to his story, there's a lot surrounding his career. A lot of his movies, like the Mummy series and stuff, broke his body, his back and stuff, and he's been not healthy his entire career because of it.
Wow.
And so he's trying to get back into it, and he's had a lot of support from his fan base, like everybody's, you know, and it's a really heartwarming story. Go check it out. Brendan Fraser is in a new movie, The Whale.
Is that what The Whale's about? Is him being an overweight?
I don't know. I
never heard of it.
I saw a trailer for it, but it wasn't clear. The only thing that was clear was that Brendan Fraser makes some inspirational quotes during the
600-pound middle-aged Charlie tries to reconnect with his 17-year-old daughter. The two grew apart after Charlie left his family for a man, which later died. Charlie then went on to binge eat out of pain and guilt, which resulted in his current weight.
See, I didn't know that.
Okay.
But Brendan Fraser, I love Brendan Fraser. And he's one of my childhood actors, right? George of the Jungle, Mummy, blah, blah, blah. Avatar, The Way of Water, is coming out December 16th. So this is the long awaited sequel to the first Avatar movie that came out in 2010, I think. So we've been waiting 12 years.
Yeah. 2009,
my bad.
Excuse me, 2009.
But so supposedly Disney has signed him up for 7 more movies.
We'll be dead before this.
He's going to die before he gets them all.
Right,
he's waiting 10 years. And then
I will not be alive.
If you're into the kids movies, not a whole lot of movies coming out actually that are notable. December 21st, 2022, Puss in Boots comes out. Wish. I'm assuming it's the last Puss in Boots movie. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like this. I like the Puss in Boots series.
Yeah.
I will be interested to see the numbers, the actual domestic box office, global box office, because like Wakanda Forever, I researched that this morning actually. And so the numbers are good in terms of money that they made, but I still think we are not going to get these huge numbers anymore because of streaming.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Potential like COVID coming up, but
the cinemas have been dying for a couple of years now. I used to clean carpets and stuff, and so I worked somewhat in the industry, and they were desperately trying to come up with new experiences for people to enjoy, like VIP, where they come and serve you food, and then there's like VIP lounge area before the movie, and then so they're trying to make the experience, but our recliner seats, they've put in a lot of movie theaters, but I think people just are more comfortable at home. And I think that's the way things are going.
The first Avatar made $2.923 billion.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. So
that's the first movie I saw in theaters.
And I think that's number two now. Avengers Endgame, I think, supplanted
that
movie, but isn't like number two overall.
Yeah.
That's what I'm interested. Like, is it really going to catch fire?
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, oh, because the trailer looks good, but
I was a huge fan of the first one. I saw it twice in theaters, once in 3D, and then once in regular. And then I was at the midnight release when it came out on Blu-ray. I was the only one that was there waiting for it at midnight.
Die hard, man.
The Walmart employee just kind of looked at me really weird. And as he pulled it from the first box, like handed it to me. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. but yeah, no, that was kind of a nerdy thing.
Have you all watched the new Christmas Story HBO Max yet?
I heard it wasn't as good.
I watched it. I mean, the other day had some other sequels that were definitely a lot worse. Yeah. And I mean, this, this is
the nostalgia is probably going to sell it.
I mean,
it's probably what it's gonna.
I wish they could took the out. You know, it kind of centered around Flick's bar. You know, so mm-hmm. like that could have been left out. But you know, it just. I mean. It's Christmas Story is one of those movies you really cannot make a sequel for.
Yeah.
I mean, just can't. Just,
yeah. It's kind of like Elf. They've tried to make a second Elf movie, and they should just leave it alone, in my opinion. And Will Ferrell didn't want to do it anyway. He's like, I can't do tights anymore. But
I already found my dad.
Yeah.
All right. So the premise being set more than a decade after the events of the first film, Avatar: The Way of Water tells a story of the Sully family, the trouble that follows them, the lengths they go to keep each other safe, the battles they fight to stay alive, and tragedies that they endure. So Jake Sully and Nitri have formed a family and are doing everything to stay together. However, they must leave their home and explore the regions of Pandora when an ancient threat resurfaces. Jake must fight a difficult war against the humans.
Again.
There we go. All right. Cool. Avatar: The Way of Water. I do want to see that one at least in theaters.
Yeah. Also, can I make an announcement? Yes. Okay. So I am officially a published author illustrator. I just wrote and illustrated a book called Captain Blunder Might Live Forever. It is on Amazon. You can purchase it in time for Christmas.
That's right.
You can type in my name, Ben Askew, and that's Askew.
Is that the best way to search it?
Yeah, I've attached the book to my name now on Amazon. That's how you can find it. You can also follow my official author illustrator social media. It's Ben Askew Books. That's on, you know, Facebook and Instagram and sort of Twitter. So yeah, no, I'm really excited. It's gotten a lot of good interest, and it's actually, I like to say this, number one in new releases.
Oh,
congratulations,
yes.
Man!
In the pirate category.
Nice. Ben Askew, PhD. Ben's responsibilities include deep scientific due diligence, program design, and scientific leadership and guidance for preclinical and clinical stage companies.
That's not me.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Don't Google me. It will come up somebody who is not me.
I have a bad Google name, too, because like Jeremiah Johnson, do. There's the movie, there's like NFL players. So
you
I don't
got
have
the
a,
historical guy who wrestled some Google bears name. In the 1800s.
I knew somebody that their name was the same as a serial killer. And like well-known serial killer, and they didn't get jobs and things because of it. Very strange.
Yeah. But at least I don't have like some people. I'm making up one. It's, you know, like Jeremiah Poopy Pants or something. You know, like people that have like those, right. And that's like their legit name. So okay, you guys got anything else? We're gonna bounce into some spiritual truth, but we do have to. I forgot to grab it. I'm Greg Wald. I'm gonna give you your Christmas present today. I know I'm gonna ruin the tradition. But I just don't want it to get ruined because I bought one and it got trashed. And then I had to buy two more. And like, I got to give this to him because I want to keep it in good condition. So Ben, if you go over there to that box, run over there real quick.
Let me go get it.
We're going to give Greg Walden the early Christmas present. If you want, I'll get another one for the other show, the official, that box right there. Yes. Yep. I'll get you another one for the other show that we do, the Christmas present opening show. But I'm like, so here we go. So you have to keep in mind, you know, I know it's not high expensive, but you keep in mind the travel cost that went to get this gift for you.
Oh, nice. More, sweet. Yeah, the Mahomes Crunch. Oh, Kelce Crunch.
Kelce Crunch.
Nice.
Kelce's Crunch. Last year, I was in Hy-Vee, which if you're in the Midwest and you see Hy-Vee, that's like the popular grocery store. And the other day I saw Kelce's Crunch in the box. I'm like, I got to get that for Greg Walden. And so I bought two boxes. The boys My twin boys tore into one, and the other one got like smushed between by bags and everything like that. So I ran back to the store, got two more boxes, and said, if anyone destroys these boxes, you're in trouble, because this is Greg Walden's Christmas present. So there you go. Two boxes of Kelsey Crunch.
Nice.
You can eat one. You can save one. You can save both or whatever.
Well, I still got the Mahomes Crunch unopened in the man cave.
He has an unopened box of Mahomes Magic Crunch. Now he will add to the collection.
It's probably not good to eat that by now, though. But it's good for decoration. I don't even want to open it up and see what the band
see. That's like. That's the kind of stuff that's going to feed us during the apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, Mahomes Crunch.
You never know, man.
It's the only food that's left.
You know, 20 years from now, an unopened box may be worth some money. You never know.
Hey,
Mahomes. Yeah, they're both going to be Hall of Famers. Yeah. He could be the GOAT someday.
Yeah. Somebody should have some Brady Crunch somewhere, I'm sure.
All right. Here's the spiritual talk I want to get into today. You guys remember the news anchor, Matt Lauer?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Can't remember. Matt Lauer.
The Today Show, Matt Lauer. Katie Couric.
Disgraced.
Katie Couric, Matt Lauer.
Disgraced.
A Matt Lauer fan. Like,
Where in the world?
This is weird. My dream job. Okay. This is my all time dream job is to host the show with Kelly Ripa. That's my dream job.
Really?
Legitimately. That's what I see myself. The best me as is the Jeremiah and Kelly show.
Oh my gosh.
That's the best me that I can visualize.
Well, see, I used to
I think that'd be so fun.
I used to be the guy behind the camera directing. Yeah. We did the morning show.
Come out, you do the monologue, you have some fun, you interact with people. Am I misvisualizing myself? Don't you think I'd be good on a show like that? I do. I think I'd like.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I've met a lot of news anchors. Sorry, Chad Douglas, but you're all very strange. They're all weird. I don't think you're weird enough.
Okay. All right. Anyway. So Matt Lauer, disgraced. I'm not going to read this whole article, but he's been removed from about 5 years. So he had some inappropriate relationships.
He had a lot of inappropriate relationships.
Based on that, comes out, he gets fired. It was definitely in that time of, did we term that? Cancel culture?
Canceled.
Yeah, cancel culture. And because there was the other dude that was on Hollywood, Access Hollywood. He's the one with Trump that like some audio, like he got axed, all kinds of people that hit any kind of history.
Charlie Rose got taken.
Yeah. A lot of this was coming out. Matt Lauer, you know, gets fired. And then, you know, a lot of people, cause he had a good image. A lot of people were surprised. I didn't even know that this was this person. So I read an article today that was kind of talking about how he's still 5 years later. He's not gone back out in the public. He hasn't, you know, tried to get another job, and he's actually like secluding himself more and more and more. And some of those people that he thought were friends, he's kind of disassociated with and everything like that. I have at least a bit of empathy for him in that, as I was reading the article, basically here's what, like, Katie Couric was like, well, you know, he was this dualistic person. I knew the good Matt Lauer, but not the bad Matt Lauer. And so he wasn't. So here's what I'm getting at. Hopefully it makes sense of this. Okay. So we all make mistakes as human beings and epic failures. And I think when we do that, then what we do to that person, I mean, okay, outside of being like a psycho serial killer, right? Like, or whatever, like, you know, you find that I'm doing something way like bad. And I'm not saying what he was doing was bad, but I think when those things happen, we're like that, you know, I didn't know the real person and all these kind of things. Here's what I'm getting at. Here's the point I want to make. As I was reading this article, I was trying to think spiritually, is that I think every single one of us are going to have a big failure in our life, and we're going to fail in some capacity. And definitely we're going to have some failure that is a large failure. And that failure doesn't necessarily mean that's who we are. It's a mistake that we have done. And in that epic failure, we have an opportunity to correct it, to course correct, and to be redeemed, and to go back and to be our best self, not what that moment of failure made us to be. Is that making sense so far? i.e. I was thinking about David in the Bible, right? Yeah. You know, David, and this is, and I won't even go as far to say this. I think every person who's even a Jesus follower, a follower of Christ, you're going to have a moment of failure in your journey of faith, a big one. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't tell you how big or small that is. It could be, I got divorced. It could be, you know, I had an inappropriate relationship. It could be, I made bad financial decisions. It could be, I had a really great job that was provided and I got fired because of my behavior or character or something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I believe every person, and even in their journey of faith, is going to have a big moment of failure. And what you do, and that failure doesn't mean you're an evil person. It does, because we're all evil, mm-hmm. you know, without Christ. But it doesn't mean you can't make that moment turn around from it. Okay. I don't know. I joke around. I call him Jay Swag. Okay. Jimmy Swaggart. Okay. My understanding is Jimmy Swaggart, you know, was like, I don't know if it was porn or women or something like that. Whatever, right? Back in the 80s, this was before my time, but you know, he has this epic sized ministry. I'm putting it in my world because I'm a pastor. He has this epic or this big ministry, and he has this huge moment of failure. So you could have looked at it one to two ways. You could be like, now everything that he ever preached, everything he ever did is just phony, fake. That was never who he was. Or the way I choose to look at it based on David and the scripture is like, hey, that was a big failure. And he did let things seep into his life. And that was him that made that decision. And that was him that made that this choice. But that doesn't invalidate all of who he was. And it doesn't mean even now the ministry he's done up to the present is invalid. And because now he has a ministry, he's preaching, he's doing the work of God, he's giving the missions,
he's singing,
singing, all these kind of things. So I just think about that Matt Lauer, and I just thinking like, hey, just, you are going to have a moment of failure in your life. Hopefully it's smaller than bigger, not bigger than smaller, right? Hopefully it's not like, you know, for Matt Lauer, this one like changed the trajectory of his career. Mm-hmm. He was the top news anchor guy in the world. He's making whatever at the time, $20, $25 million. He had a model wife. He had like multiple properties in millions of dollars. He had the perception of a perfect person, you know, and it all comes crumbling down, and it doesn't look like he's heading in a great direction in life. But David, same thing, not the same thing. David, similar in that he has this great, he's on top. He's the king. He has a great perception as a man of God, but he has an epic moment of failure. He could either choose to let that failure define him, or he could, the best way, the biblical way, is to repent and turn your life around and start heading back to the direction God has for you. What do you guys think about that?
Well, as believers, I mean, obviously, you're right. We're all going to fail. Either we already have failed at one time, or it's going to happen. I mean, not that we would desire it to happen, but I mean, we're still living in our human, our flesh, which is still, you know, prone to sin, and we struggle with it every day. I mean, we little things like getting up on Sunday morning, your flesh is like, I don't want to go to church. I'm too tired. And your spirit says, nope, get up, go to church. get your butt up, go to church. And, you know, up to the big issues where obviously some people fall into a, you know, like, you know, adulterous relationship or whatever, you know, like, I think it's what happened to Jimmy Swaggart. He fell into an adulterous relationship. And so, you know, obviously as believers, we, you know, that's one of the things we have to do every morning is pray, God help us, you know, help us to each day, help us to avoid the temptations, be in the word, praying, all that. And try to live our best. And I mean, obviously when we do fail, obviously the thing, God convicts us, Holy Spirit convicts us. And then our reaction is to repent and, you know, and get back up and do what God wants us to do. And obviously, you know, how people see us. I mean, like when Jimmy Swaggart failed, like you brought up the example when he failed, people who see him now, some people see him in a frame set. Yeah, he failed, but he repented. He's doing it. And then other people say, well, look, he's just a hypocrite because look what he did. And, you know, there's just two camps of people. There are some people that see that failure and they don't really have any desire to believe in the first place. They're just like, ha, see? This proves that God isn't real because he failed, blah, blah, blah. He's just like everybody else. And they're the mindset they don't want to, then people kind of don't want to believe in the first place. They just look for a reason to mock God or say, yeah, see, I told you, point the finger and say, yeah, so I told you so. But then there are people say, you know, yeah, he did screw up, but he got back on track and is trying to, you know, live as God wants him to live, you know, because again, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't point the finger at Jimmy Swagger and like, oh gosh, look what he did. No, you know, look what we did. It's like, and then we can't really, we see the big sins like adultery, you know, the big stuff like people do, but then what does the little things do? It's not really what, and then the issue isn't how what people's opinion of us is. What does God view us? I mean, when God views sin, how does God view sin? It's not how the world views sin. How does God view sin? I mean, even the little sins. I mean, Adam and Eve, they lost the whole, they messed up the whole thing for humanity because they ate a fruit they weren't supposed to eat. They didn't go out and kill nobody or commit adultery, or they ate a fruit they weren't supposed to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't seem like a big sin in the secular eyes. Like, it doesn't look like a big sin, you know, when you look at, you know, with our, you know, secular human eyes, it's like, they just ate a fruit, but God can see it was so bad that they messed up all of humanity.
Yeah. So. Yeah, in those moments too, there's such a great opportunity because you have to rely on God. You know, I think it's easy as a Christian to get in a state, well, especially in the United States, in a state of mind of not necessarily having to rely on God because your needs are taken care of in the United States a lot of times. And when you like in my life, I've had the most progression in my relationship with God when I am uncomfortable. And something that those failures do is it makes you get a new perspective and an inward look at yourself. And when you do that, you're like, all right, well, you know, you can go to one of two ways. You can get bitter and ugly and continue to, you know, go down that path, or you can take it as a moment like, oh my gosh, like how could I let myself get to this point? You know, and then you come to a point of repentance, you know, and asking God for forgiveness. And then when you do that, well, God can use all things for his good. And you can now use that as testimony.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it is, it's the taking yourself off the pedestal and making the realization and being an example to people that, mm-hmm. that's the beauty of what Christ did. Yes, I sinned, you know, and I made this mistake, but that's why I need a savior. That is the whole beauty of it. Now, that's not to say that you should live in hyper grace where you can continue to make those mistakes and just be like, oh, God will forgive me. What I'm saying is, you know, when an outside person comes into a church and they see a perfect church with perfect people that don't have any problems, we're doing them a disservice. But when you can humble yourself and come to and kneel before God and admit, like, I have problems. I am a sinner. You know, we should do that regardless, even with the small things in our lives that are not right.
Yeah.
But especially in those big moments, it almost forces you to get on your knees and be like, God, forgive me for everything. You know, and it makes you uncomfortable. You know, in the case of infidelity, well, that also puts you in a situation where if you are married, you know, your wife divorcing you or your spouse divorcing you, and biblically, I believe biblically they have a right to, right?
Right.
And so, you know, in that situation, you know, that, you know, that's your lowest point. And when you reach out and cry out to God in your lowest point at that point, you're completely humble in that moment and God will meet you, you know?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody Sunday morning for Sunday school. I think one of the biggest encouraging verses in the Bible, I don't know exact verse, but this is what the verse is, that you know, we as believers have, even in our moments of failures, is that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it till the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, even though we mess up, God's faithful to us. Yeah. He who began to go work with us will be faithful to complete it to the end. Yeah. So in the end, I mean, it's still God. You know, God can work through even us broken vessels.
Yeah.
God can work through us. and get to glory and get his and work through us, even though we still have some faults and we still fail here and there and stuff like that. So, you know, in the end, it's God's power working through us.
Yeah.
It's very easy to, I apologize, Matt Lauer, shout out to you, using you as example. It's very easy for us to point at other people and just look at some of these big time stories that we've seen of other people and be like, wow, they're really horrible. But I can guarantee every single believer, every person, if I could unfold your dirty laundry, I could open up your life, get in your closets, you have things that make you not the holiest person in the world.
Yep.
And they might not be, again, detrimentally, you might not be doing drugs or something like that. But another piece of advice I could give to everyone is just to say, you know, if you are failing or whatever, or have failure or are in a moment of failure, the motivation to get right should be because you want to get right with God. I think sometimes we're so focused on what people think about us. I need to get right with God. Mm-hmm. To alleviate the external perception of who are. That's not a good reason to get right with God.
Yeah.
The best reason to get right with God is because you want to, and you know you need to, and you want to be right with God. Because again, the goal is, as one day as you stand before God, you know, who cares what everyone else thinks about me? Because there's people right now, for me as a minister that stands before people and has stood before people for a period of time now, I already know there's people that don't like me. There's people that kind of like me. There's people that really like me. There's people, you know, like whatever. There's a plethora of those people. But that's not, shouldn't be the motivation of my spiritual life.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the motivation of my ministry. The motivation and the core driving force of my individual faith should be like, God, I want to know you because I want to know you.
Yeah.
I want to please you because I want to please you. I want to be right with you because I want to be right with you.
Yeah, it's very freeing when you can get to a place where you don't care what people think, you know. And I'll say, in early with me in ministry, when I first started, it was one of those things where I have to appear as holy, right? And during worship, I need to make sure that I am appearing, you know, and raising my hands and doing all of the right things. And it took me a while to realize my hypocrisy and realize like, you know what? I know my relationship with God. I know that I'm doing what God has told me to do. I know that this is the direction God has given me. God has provided everything. And there was such a freedom in that. It's like, excuse me, I'm not crying. It's phlegm. There's such a freedom in that moment to be like, you know what? It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter. Like, I know that what God has told me is what I am doing. And if there is outside forces that come against me, then I know that I am right with God and God will provide and take care of me. And if that comes to a point of, hey, you are no longer here, it's like, okay, then we're going to move on. We're going to move and transition to a different part of life, you know? And there's so much freedom in that when you're like, it doesn't really matter what other people think. It's like, it's you and God, right?
Yep.
Because when you care what people think, that's when you start putting on a persona and you have a fake Christianity and a shallow relationship with God. You know, you should be sold out and you should be like so confident in your walk with God that it doesn't matter what people think.
That's why I tell the youth, like the Sunday school, it's like, you know, if you're going to live for Jesus and be on fire for Jesus, you're going to expect people to hate you.
Yep.
The Bible says it. It's like people will hate you for his name's sake.
Yep.
The gospel is an offense to those who are perishing. I mean, not like we seek to go offend people, but just telling them the gospel that's going to offend them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be one of the cool kids. You know, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be made fun of.
Yeah.
I mean, that, if you're going to stand for Jesus, you're going to get made fun of. You're going to be hated. That's just a fact of life.
But what the thing is too, when you're in that moment, especially as a young person, when you're in that moment, it's so hard to compartmentalize all that and not be affected by it. You know, but when you actually walk in that and you, even the people that you think that you have no effect on whatsoever, when you talk to them about Jesus and they are stonewall and they just don't accept it. You don't actually know what seeds you're planting.
Right.
You know, and I think I've told the story before and I'm sure it gets old, but you know, I had a guy in school that I just beat my head against a brick wall talking to him about Jesus and he was never accepting of it. But you know, 3 years later, I get a phone call from him and says, hey, you know, I've got a family member that has been in a car wreck. It's not looking good. I needed somebody to pray. It's like he still came back to that point. It's like he knew that he needed prayer and that he needed God in that moment, even though he didn't believe in God. So he said, you know, but those seeing my life and how I lived it, he remembered that. Yeah. And he knew where to turn, not turn to me, but he knew that Jesus within me is what he needed in that moment.
Right.
You know, so yeah. You don't know what seed you're planting right. In those difficult moments.
But you planted the seed though. You didn't, yeah. You know, you weren't gonna say, well, this guy might not like me if I tell him about Jesus. You still told him about Jesus, even though he liked you, whatever his response was, he didn't care. You said, I'm talking to him about Jesus.
Yep.
What are you going to do in that moment of failure comes? I mean, maybe it's already come. Maybe you championed it. Maybe you're through it. It could be on its way. But, you know, the big thing, just repent, get right with God. Hey, guys, bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. This is Modern Christian Dudes. We got to get Greg Wald into his Kelsey's Crunch right now. He's going to tear into that. We'll talk to you guys next time.
You want to go to Lambert's? Big Ben. I'm married to the Huntress. J Money. Just pop the mic, money. It's time for the MCD. Ladies and guys and ladies. MCD.